Well, we've been talking about making a difference this year, 2016, making a difference. And we've been talking about family circles, in our summer series. And so we talked about making a difference in our personal life. We talked about making a difference in our Bible study, which is going to make a difference in our personal life. And it's going to make a difference in the circles to come through the summer. And so that's what we finished up on last month. This month, we're right in the middle of talking about the circle of family. So we've been working on these circles, kind of working out from personal life outside. And so this month, we're talking about the family, making a difference in our family. And so this week, we're talking about making a difference in that amidst all these different influences around us. So we're going to do our little small group time here. And Jim, ignore the little note about the 30-second timer. It just occurred to me. I found it, and I didn't put it into PowerPoint. So we'll just go on my count on that. But I want you to get in groups. And if you see someone, and the purpose of this, we don't want to leave anyone out. Sometimes we've done the small groups. I've seen two people sitting over here having a group of their own. No two people groups. So four or more in your group. So quickly gather some people together around you, and you're going to have less than a minute to discuss and try to come up, find someone with a pencil and paper, make a quick list, and we'll see how many things you can get written of the influences that are on us and on our kids today. So quick, make groups. No. There we go. Awesome. And take a few minutes. I'll get my board up here. On anything that list the influences that we have in our life. Things that influence us. Things that influence our kids. Influences. All right. Hopefully that's been enough time to get a quick list of influences in your life. I told you it was going to be quick. That was definitely more than 30 seconds. So Ronnie's going to be going around. So if I can look at our group, she's going to go around. And I want to write some of these on the board. And we'll see how many things that we can get listed here. So she's going all the way back there to start. There's a group right there. That looks like a group. Yeah, so grab a spokesperson, someone from that group. Let us know what you guys wrote down. You're good. It's him. There we go. Awesome. All right.
The internet.
Yes. Huge one. TV commercials. Yes. That's two M's. I think. So just two answers from that group. All right, next group. All right.
Friends?
I guess it would be easy just for you to hear them and let us know. Friends? My marker's dying. I got the one that I thought was good. Teachers. You guys can't see that. So you got one, two. Thank you so much, Ronnie. I was looking around. I was going to use a teenager, and she's the closest we have in this service.
Drugs.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So not prescription drugs. So rec drugs. Thank you.
What do you want?
All sorts of awesome. Thank you. I tested. Oh my goodness, this is awesome. We'll just do there. There we go. No, because I can't spell. Alcohol is a difficult word. That's probably making it worse right over top of it. All right.
News
and the media, yes. Wow. Man. Ryan, thank you so much wherever you are. I love this marker. I cherish it. You know, you don't realize that there's a sermon illustration in that. You don't realize how faded it gets because it happens over time. Okay, anyway, go on. The parrots? Parents. I thought, what? Polly want a cracker? Parents. All right, parrots.
The church.
Minister, that's you, man. Yep, the minister. These are great.
Phones.
So how so the phones? Like, is that still, is that under news and media as far as? Yes, the phones. Okay. I was just trying to figure out that. Gotcha.
School.
Where we have, we had teachers, didn't we? There we go.
Facebook and cartoons.
Yeah. Funny how I know how to spell all three of those. Everyone's on, that's fine. That would happen eventually.
Music,
very big influences. Music communicates in so many ways.
Coworkers.
Hmm. Attitude. Great, great list. And how many we have? We got a couple more groups actually still.
The president.
So president, Congress, government officials. How's that? Okay, yeah. Pornography. PH. Right?
Sunday school teachers.
So the church. Sunday school teachers. Girls with assault rifles? That's you. Is that right with an IE? No. There we go. So Ronnie's an influence. She has a microphone too, so she's double trouble today. Police. Do we have, so government, oh, police. That's a hot topic right now. Peers. So we'll put that with coworkers. Did I have friends? Oh, I do have friends. It's on there twice then. News and media. There we go. That's all right. Good.
Sports.
So celebrities, period, would fall into that, wouldn't it? Ah. Here, there. I'm telling you guys, I'm an idiot when it comes to spelling. My poor kids. They have to ask their mom how to spell something. How do you spell this? Ask your mom. I don't have word in front of me.
Living environment.
Living environment. So circumstances. So, and that's a little bit different. Living environment. Movies. Do we have media? So that's sort of cartoons, movies. It's like it all pop culture. Grandparents, so parents. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord. Bible. We've got church, Sunday school teachers. Now we have the Bible. All right, I think we're good. Thank you so much, Ronnie. Give Ronnie a hand for giving us a hand on that. So, thank you so very much. Yeah, absolutely. We are surrounded by influences. We are surrounded by voices. Let's write that down. We have many voices. Many voices. Many things that are whispering in our ears. Some of them whispering. Some of them shouting very loudly. I remember at Camp Northwood in Falmouth, Kentucky. You kind of that word has to just kind of fall out of your mouth to say it right. Falmouth, Kentucky. And we were there with when I was a youth minister, and we had a game that we played with a bunch of the kids. All the kids had there were a couple kids that had blindfolds. I don't know if that time we had. I think we had all the kids at that time had blindfolds. And all the counselors were around at the perimeter, and we actually had counselors moving in through, and those got to be little, you know, kind of Satan demon type people encouraging them. And so they had to find their way, and it was a huge field, and they had to find their way to this specific spot on the field. So they were listening to all these voices calling to them and telling them what direction to go. And the certain voices were the true voices, and other voices were false voices trying to distract them and take them away from the place they needed to go. So once they got to the place where they thought they had made it to the right place, they pulled off their blindfold to find out if they listened to the right voices. It was a pretty potent game, and I'd love to have been able to do that with our church out here and, you know, next door in the field or something. That would have just been a beautiful illustration to live through that, because the looks on their faces when they realized, oh man, I'm not in the right place here. Or when they got to the right place, they're like, ah, I did it, you know. So it was really an impactful illustration to start the week off. If I remember right, that was one of the first things we did that week. And then the Vespers teachers brought that home, that, you know, that's heaven and hell. Who are you listening to? What voices have impact in your life? Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. And the New Testament says, do not be deceived. This is 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Let's write this down. It is dangerous to be influenced by a couple of things. It is dangerous to be influenced by the wrong people. It's dangerous to be influenced by the wrong people. You hang out with the wise, that's great, but if you hang out with fools, you're going to get in trouble. Bad company, and that's not the 70s band, but bad company corrupts good morals. It's important that we are aware of the people that we surround ourselves with. The people that you surround yourselves with, they will influence you. They will be voices in your life. Now, do we cut off all contact with anyone that's not a Christian or not a good influence in our life? No, not at all, but we're going to talk about that in about 20 minutes. I guess we got 15 minutes to get there, so we'll have to get booking. But right now, we're going to focus on just the awareness that we must have with people that we allow into our lives, into that inner circle, to have influence on our lives. We need to make sure that we have a good group of solid Christian friends and role models in our life. Now, we've been talking in this series about how the Christian standards, the principles, the biblical morals, They are quickly, like right before our eyes, quickly being thrown aside in our culture, in our society. And it is very important that we make sure that we are around the right people who are going to influence us in the right ways, because the people who are going to be the wrong people, they're increasing more and more, it seems. Their voices are getting louder. Their voices are being heard more. Parents, are you surrounding yourself with other Christians that are going to help you to follow God, not only for yourself, but so that you can be a great parent for your kids or a great grandparent for your kids? If your children, and this is a tough question to ask, if your children picked friends that were the same type of friends of the friends that you surround yourself with, would you be happy with their choices? And so, I mean, we can look at our children and say, no, you shouldn't hang out with that person. They're trouble. Or you shouldn't hang out. That person's really a good person to hang out with. Like, no one likes him at school. I don't care. He's a great person. What about your friends? If your friends were your children's friends, would you say, that person's trouble? That's not a good person to hang out with. Or would you say, that's the type of person you need to be around? That's the type of person you need to surround yourself with. On a different note, still talking to parents, as this is a family series, are you providing a good influence on your children's life? Are you looking at yourself and saying, you know what? I'm one of these many voices in my child's life, and I don't care how old you are or how old your child is. You're still being watched. You're still being looked at. They're still looking to you. Are you providing your child with a voice in their life that is a good influence, that is a great influence? Parents, you need to be the right person in your child's life. You must not fall under the category of the wrong person, someone that they would not want to follow or emulate or copy or imitate. Show them through your life what good choices look like, what the right person chooses. Show them through your example. Show them what wisdom looks like. Children, and you know, every one of us is a child. I don't care how old you are. Yeah, he's like, man, I know my part. Every one of us have parents. Every one of us are children. Every one of us are a child. So if you're blessed enough to have Christian parents, you need to look at them and think, this is the right person in my life. God has put the right person in my life. My boys, and I hope they always feel this way. They're constantly telling me, I'm so glad that God gave you to me to be my dad. And I'm like, I'm so glad God gave you to me to be my son. So my youngest always reminds me that I'm the second best dad in the world. So second to God, but Jess gets to be the best mom in the world, but I never get to be the best. So, but that's all right. That's all right. I can take second place to God, but that's a great feeling. But I think we should all feel that way about our parents. If you've been blessed with Christian parents, we need to let them be an influence. Sometimes it's easy to push against our parents because they're our parents. And at certain stages in life, I think we push back a little more than others. But I think we all need to be reminded, if you are blessed with Christian parents, and not all families have this, not all children, not all people have Christian parents. If you're blessed with Christian parents, they should be a strong influence in your life. Are they perfect? Not at all. Should they still be one of the most influential people in your life? Absolutely, they should be. They're your parents. So it's dangerous to be influenced by the wrong people. There's another dangerous influence out there, and it is false teachings. Let's read a couple of verses about that. Galatians 5, verses 7 through 9 says, you are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Another version says, who cut in on you? Who stepped in on you? Who interrupted your race? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And that illustration idea there is that you put a little bit of something, a little bit of leaven in the dough, and you knead it in there, and it permeates the whole batch. Just a little bit. We're seeing this in our at work, live, right here, right in our country. It doesn't take much false teaching to spread through a whole lot of people. We need to make sure that we are not influenced by their teachings. These voices are getting louder and louder. We must lean on God's word as our authority in life. I cannot stress that enough. And more and more it seems that's going to be more something that I'm going to need to bring up. Just, and not because you're not doing it, but because we're all going to need that reminder. God's authority, God's authority, God's word, it's God's Bible, because we've got all these voices and we need to make sure that the loudest voice in our life is coming from God. There are many things in our world that are become, they're called right and natural, that the Bible calls evil and perversions. We read this verse a couple weeks ago. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It is dangerous to be influenced by the wrong people, and it is dangerous to be influenced by false teachings. There are many people in authority over us in our life. People in positions of political power. We have the government, we have police, bosses and supervisors at work. We've got our coworkers. And I don't know if work came into that. But we've got living environments, so our work environment would fall under that. Our kids, they have principals and teachers at school. We have many people that are in authority over us, and we must respect them. That's the Christian way. That's how we follow our Savior, and we obey His word. We must obey them as long as they're not going against the Bible's teachings on what they're telling us to do and not to do. I'm worried that we're not too far from the days of Nebuchadnezzar, where we'll be forced to worship idols, or the freedom of our religion, as Daniel's was removed from him to pray. I'm worried that's gonna be coming, but it's not here right now. So right now, as we respect those who are in power over us, we must operate peacefully and respectfully to those who are in authority over us. Now, does that mean that they are the loudest voice of morality in our life? No. No, not at all. In school, if you're a teacher, if we've got kids in school that are being taught that evolution is a fact, not a theory, that's false teaching. That's contrary to the Bible. That contradicts the Bible. So as innocent as it might feel, and as much as we've been indoctrinated over the decades that's been introduced to us, we think, well, it's just evolution. No, that's false teaching. That's against the Bible. That doesn't agree. We can't look at that and say, well, that's just this. Does that mean that you disagree with your teacher in a disrespectful manner? No, not at all. But it means that we need to be aware of what is false teaching and what is not false teaching. And we need to make sure that that false teaching is not knocking us off course. It's not knocking into our race, not interrupting us, as that passage was talking about. They can teach all they want, and it can be voice after voice saying it. But that doesn't change the truth from God's word. Truth is truth, no matter how many voices are saying the false instructions or the false teachings. Don't let it shake you. Don't be shaken from God's word. If your boss or your supervisor, our work environment, our coworkers, if your boss or your supervisor is encouraging you to compromise your integrity, asking you to phony up a bid or to present an unrealistic timeline to your customer just to get the sale, to make promises to the customer that you know are lies, don't do it. Yes, be respectful to your boss and your supervisor, but you can operate in a way that's not disrespectful and still consistent with your integrity and your character as a Christian. If they're asking you to do those things, don't do those things. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what you should be doing. That's not an influence that you should allow into your life. And if you're going to get fired because you're not doing something that goes against your character and your integrity. Do not get fired because you are disrespectful to them over that. You see the difference? So we can operate in peace and respect with the powers that are over us, but it doesn't mean we have to compromise our beliefs. It doesn't mean that these influences and these voices should influence what drives us on a moral basis, what drives our character, what drives our integrity. Our country is being filled with a lot of these false teachings. It just seems like there's a new one coming out every week. It's amazing. Do not give up, church. Do not. couple years ago for my second degree test, we had to break inch and a half cinder blocks. And we had to do two of them. And I did it for the test. And then I kind of got into a mental block. And anyone that does anything like that, martial arts is a lot of mental stuff. There's some physical and technique and whatnot. You have to have that. But there's a lot. And so I got into a mental block. And so I got a bunch of those to keep at my house. And for a couple years now, I've been going out there and smacking on them and not having success. And I know it's in my head because I know I can. And I know I did. And so I'll go out every once in a while and I'll pop that and just like, oh man. So then what was it? It was Friday. I got done. Was it Friday? It wasn't Friday. It's Thursday, I guess. I was out and had to sweep some stuff off the back porch or whatnot. And I saw my blocks there and I thought, oh, I haven't tried that in a while. I can't give up. I got to keep going. So I put one up there and crash, went right through it. I was like, yeah, this is the first time in a long time that I'd done that. So then it was Friday, and then I had finished up mowing, and so I passed by the blocks again, and I thought, well, that felt good yesterday. So I came down on it on Friday, pow, nothing. Came down again, and I felt my finger kind of go numb. You stupid, you're leading worship Sunday. Second service, I'm leading worship, and I'm playing guitar. And I was like, okay, no more tries this week. But I did it. Church, don't give up. Don't give up. That's throughout the Bible. That's one of the tenets of Taekwondo. And that's one of the things I love about the Christian Taekwondo group I'm with. We take those and we apply them. Here's where the Bible talks about these things. And so to me, that's something bigger. It's about not giving up. It's not about a goofy little cinder block. It's about not giving up. It's about not letting something cause you to give in. And church, let me encourage you, do not give up. Do not. You're going to have days where there's a success and a breakthrough and it's going to feel great, but then there's going to be other days where you just feel like you're just hitting and nothing's happening. Do not give up. We cannot afford to do that as a church. I'm talking capital C. Do not give up on the truth of the gospel. It's still potent. It is still saving lives. It is still making a difference between heaven and hell. Do not let these false teachings step in and knock you off course. Put your head down, put your game face on, and stick with it, church. Do not be moved on the inside with all of these outside influences. Prepare to stick to your guns. Prepare to do it in the most loving and respectful way that you can, but stick to your guns. When it comes to morality, integrity, things that the Bible teaches is true, see, we are to operate in peace and with respect, but that doesn't mean that we're pushovers. The church is not a group of pushovers. In fact, Jesus, he once said about his church, his vision for his church. He said, and I quote, "I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." So church, we're not to be pushovers. And we're not going to be that super force that Jesus intended us to be if we're being tossed around by every false teaching that's out there, by all of these voices, by teachings that are being promoted by our Supreme Courts and our social medias. Know what God's word says and stand on it. We are living around many, many people that are building their houses on sand. Do not be that person and do not be influenced by those people. False teaching. Let's sum this up with one statement. Man, I gotta cook. Anything that encourages or entices us to go against God's ways is a bad influence. That's a very simple definition. So if you're wondering, well, I don't know about this or this situation or this person or this teaching, anything that causes you and encourages you, entices you to go against God's ways, that's a bad influence. Don't let the bad influences have power over you. It's that simple. Jesus talked about voices in our life. He said, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. Everyone says, listen. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his what? voice. They know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Let's write this down. We have gotten too familiar with the wrong voices in our lives. We have gotten too familiar with the wrong voices in our lives. And we've lost familiarity with the one voice that matters in our life, that matters most. This passage says that when we hear those strangers' voices, we should run away. Because they're bad influences. They're false teaching. They're wrong paths for us. They are bad voices. They're bad voices. We should run away from them. There's a better reason to not run away from them, and that is because they have become strange voices to us. So we become all too familiar with those voices. They need to be strange voices to us, not familiar voices. We should run away from those voices. Let's write this down. We should run away from the voices that differ from the voice of God. That's the reason why we should run away from them. Yes, they're bad influences. Yes, they're bad voices. Yes, they're false teaching. Yes, they're wrong people. But the real reason we should run from them is because God's voice is most familiar and those voices are strangers to us. I think one of the things that's happened in our lives is we've allowed those voices to become familiar. And they gain influence that way over us because those are the familiar voices and we have to listen for God's voice. That's backwards and that's wrong. And we've gotten to where we accept that. God's voice should be the voice in your life. It should be the voice you recognize, the voice you understand, the voice you run to, the voice you follow. All too often we say, well, I wonder what God thinks about this, or I wonder what God's word says about this. And it's after we've listened to all of the other influences in our life. We've gotten way too familiar with the wrong voices. Jesus has made it clear that in his teaching and many others, and in many others throughout the Bible, that only one voice matters, and that is the voice of God. That is the most important voice in our life. So parents, we are to use our influence to connect our children to God's voice. If that is the most important voice in the world, we should be using our influence as parents, no matter how old our children are, to connect our children to the voice of God. Proverbs 22, you knew this verse was going to show up sometime in this series. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. We should be doing all we can to make sure that God's voice is the most familiar voice to our children, so that other voices will be like strangers' voices. So I'm skipping some. Children, if your parents are trying to connect you to God's voice, let their voice be a strong influence in your life. There are going to be all sorts of voices out there. And if your parents are trying to connect you to God's voice, do not get stubborn against that. Don't push back against that. Realize, man, my parents are doing something that's the best thing they could do for me. Allow them to be a strong influence in your life. Matthew 5:13-16 says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's write this down. Sometimes we have it backwards. Sometimes we just have it so backwards. We are not to be influenced by this world. We are the influence. That's what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. Why are these voices even something that's a concern for us? We shouldn't be being influenced. We've been called to be the church that can even overpower the gates of Hades. We are to be the influence. You are the salt of the earth. Earlier we talked about the wrong people. And we don't want to have the wrong people influencing our life, but we don't want to cut ourselves off from being an influence to others. Jesus ate with drunks and gluttons so much that he had a reputation for being one, even though he wasn't. If you can't be around those people without them influencing you, don't be around them. But our goal is to be around those people so that we can influence them. Because we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We have to turn the tables, church. I think that's one of the reasons we are in the position we're in as a church, capital C, and as a nation. Because the church has allowed itself to be influenced by so many other voices out there when only one voice matters. When only one voice is the most important voice to us. Church, we need to leave those voices. They need to be stranger voices to us. Stranger danger. And have one voice that we listen to, and that is the voice of God. And then you can be the salt of the earth. Then you can be the light of the world. And you're going to have the right attitude towards being that influence on the world around us. We must be aware of our culture. We must be savvy to the many issues and topics that surround us. We cannot allow the wrong people to influence us, but we can't put ourselves into a little box either. We still have to be familiar with what's going on around us so that we can salt the earth. We must be the influence. Westboro Baptist Church is not going to influence very well in a good way for the gospel. Street preachers on the way to the Reds games, I don't think they're doing much. I know I pass them, and I'm a Christian. I don't want to listen to them. I don't know how they affect people that don't know Christ. People who picket Planned Parenthood, every time I go up to Christ Hospital, they're always out there. I'm thinking, you know, is that really doing any good, or is that being interpreted as hate? That's not what the church should be known for. We should strategically be an influence as the salt of the earth. And we do that through love and respect, as I talked about earlier. We do that through a peaceful means of influencing. But it's not a peaceful means of being walked over. Not a peaceful means of giving up or giving in or surrendering in that manner. It's a peaceful means of being able to stand up for what we believe, of being able to share what we know to be truth in a way that's peaceful, in a way that's right. And that's what salt does. See, we're salt. We're not acid. You know, we're not. I look at people like the Westboro Baptist Church, or like people that do the picketing thing, or and it's just like they're just trying to crush or condemn or you know, and that's their avenue, that's their route, that's what they're wanting to go down. We're not acid. We're salt. What does salt do? Salt seasons. Salt brings out the taste. I love watching Gordon Ramsay. Sorry, completely different guys. Money, food. So two things I enjoy. But I love watching Gordon Ramsay. Man, he will get on them if they don't season it. And it's just salt. But if it doesn't have the right amount of salt in there, man, he gets upset. And anyone admit seeing Gordon Ramsay? Okay. He gets pretty upset over salt. Man, I mean, our God's a loving God, but I wonder how he feels when we go out into the world and we're not seasoning it right. How are you going to put this up on the pass? How are you going to serve this? It's missing salt. Go be salt. Go bring out the flavor in people. Go make the world a better place. Make a difference in the people around you, starting with your kids. Starting with your family, and then this breaks out into the other circles we're talking about this summer. Make a difference in the people around you simply by making their life better. That's salt. That's what salt does. Salt doesn't come in, you know, just like a big anvil in the big, Roadrunner cartoons. What does salt do? You sprinkle it. Don't you? Just comes out of a salt shaker. That's how we make a difference in our world, church. You just sprinkle salt everywhere you go. You bring value to people's lives. You help their life to have more meaning. You lift them up. You bless them. You make them taste better. In the analogy of food, that would be weird otherwise. Be salt in your children's lives. Be salt at work. Be salt with your neighbors. Bring value and seasoning to those around you. Help them to realize their life matters because of who you are. Because you stand on God's principles. Because you stand on God's values. And you're sharing that with them every chance you get. Church, we're the light of the world. Are you illuminating the world around you? Are you illuminating the world around you with the light of Jesus? That sounds kind of churchy, doesn't it? I kind of avoid churchy talk, you know, but I mean, we're in church after all. So sometimes I'm going to talk churchy. Are you letting the light of Jesus shine through your good deeds? Because that's what Jesus was very specific there in Matthew 5. Our good deeds, that's what he's talking about. He said, here, you're the light of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let the world see your what? Your good deeds. So it doesn't take a genius. You don't have to be, you know, a theological, you know, professor or doctorate in that one to put that together. Light equals good deeds. Go do good things for people and let them see the light that comes from God, and they will praise your Father in heaven. It's not rocket science, church. We cannot be influenced. We must be the influence. And we do that by being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Illuminate the world around you. Shine so brightly through your good deeds that they'll want to sing songs about you. You light up my life. Be the light so that others' lives will need to be around you. Not because you've told them they need to be around you. Not because you've told them you need Jesus. Not because you've told them you need to come to church. But they need to be around you because there's something special about being around you. They need to be around you because you illuminate their life. They need to be around you because you season their life. You bring out their true flavor. You bring out their true person. You bring out their true value. Not because you're putting people down. Not because you're condemning their views or their ways or their thoughts. But they need to be around you because of what you bring to their life. Because you bring joy and peace. Because you are a voice of reason and truth that's going to be shared in a graceful manner. Do not let these present days shut down your influence, church. You cannot afford to lose your saltiness. Jesus said, if you lose your saltiness, how can you be made salty again? You cannot put your light under a bowl. It's not what it's for. We cannot give in to these influences and give up, church. We have to get out there every day. Every day. So I'm figuring out what I can skip. I wrote too many words. Imagine what we could do with just this small amount of people. Jesus turned the world upside down with 12 people, 12 men, 11 effectively. One of them defected. That's 10%. Less than 10% of the people we see coming in and out of these doors on a Sunday morning. He turned the world upside down. Imagine what we can do with, and I think my math is correct, with over 1,000% more than the people power that Jesus had. Am I right, mathematicians? Because 100% would be equal. Some of you thinking, what What can one church really do? See, that's the influence of the world speaking. Get that out of your head and listen to your Savior who said, with God, nothing is impossible. Be the influence.